When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Welcome back to part two of our chat with the one, the only Elise Lane. You know, here's the thing. You know, when the show comes out each day, and by the way, if you haven't heard part one, go and listen to our chat with Elise part one. We talk about it all. She flipped the switch. She's interviewing us, but we talk about Roni. You know what? Here's the thing. I post the show each day that comes out. I put clips on Instagram. When I went to look for clips of, you know, just Roni and Elise's time on Roni, I ended up going down a rabbit hole watching all these clips. There are clips of Dorinda, you know, getting nastier with every sip of the martini that she took. Tinsley is bawling because, you know, these women made Tinsley cry. Ramona is being her typical self and she's upset over guys. Sonia is on a bender herself, drunk off her ass, talking about how she's not a trophy wife. And just, this is all from Elise's season. And I, you know, for all of my nose turning up at Housewives these days and my boredom, man, I don't think I give enough credit all the time to vintage Roni. Vintage classic Roni was just so good in its time. You know, hey, a lot of you say Elise was part of one of the last good seasons of Roni. So go and listen to part one of this. I mean, vintage Roni. I love it. And now we continue our chat with the one and only Elise Lane.
I can't have a strong opinion because I've not watched it and only what I've seen on Instagram. But the few scenes that I have seen, to me, it's just a repeat of the Mean Girls from the original Roni. So I was hoping when I saw who they were casting, I thought, oh, these are smart, independent women. Young, pretty, diverse group. And I thought this really could be what that show needs. But from what I'm seeing, they're just having stupid fights and yelling at one another and making a big to-do about nothing. Am I wrong?
No, I think that's and it's light. They don't want toxic anymore, Bravo. They want light fights over cheese and everything else.
Well, I mean, they had enough toxic to, you know, join ISIS.
Right. They did. Yes. Yeah, no, it's the same thing. So I don't know. It's a little, for me, like there's very
you think
like
it'll make it? Will it last?
You know what it is? Like everyone's saying the ratings are so bad. I just look at it like I'm just going to round up. Luann was at a million-ish, probably a little less. Mm-hmm. Sonia was a million-ish, maybe less, but close. Ramona was a million. That's $3 million. We had Leah at 200,000. That's 3.2. And Ebony says that she upped her 60K to 100. So what is that? 3.3 million?
Ebony was on
one season.
No, she didn't up it. I'm not buying that.
You're not?
No, she signed a contract.
Carol Razzwell said, well, I mean, before she signed the contract, she said she upped it.
I don't believe it.
You know, Carol Raswell said that too. But okay, let's just 60,000, let's round up. $3.3 million for like 700,000+ viewers. Now we have like 400,000 viewers, but we have 60 times 6, 360,000 in salaries. So when everyone says the new Roni is like a total failure, these fans, like people right. point failure in 400,000, I'm like, I don't know. I think it's a success in Bravo's eyes because there's no talk about racism. There's no alcoholics in the group. There's no real family fights. There's no private investigators. There's no
a
bots.
Lot. Let's talk about what's going on with Bravo it. And
Bethany.
The
reality
Bethany
reckoning.
Wants to unionize and. There are some lawsuits going on, right?
I just had Mark Garagos on this very podcast. It's a good one.
Uh-huh.
The lawyer. I mean, yeah. a lot of people have issues with Mr. Garagos. They point out certain things they don't like about him.
Right. So, I mean, even though everyone signs contracts that they cannot sue, there's a question of whether or not they provided a safe work environment. And I would say they did not. Right. There were girls with drinking problems, and instead of supporting sobriety, they were supplying only alcohol. They wanted the girls drunk. They wanted basically the train wreck. Right. I think there were some of the women with, and excuse me for using the word girls. I don't know if that's politically correct, but.
I mean, I'm not exactly politically correct these days, so who knows?
You know, people on the show who struggle with mental health, I think that there is some culpability on Bravo's part and with the producers that they led to the destruction for a lot of these women.
I think so, too. I mean, listen, I've interviewed them all, so I've heard stories here on this podcast of people – I've heard two false imprisonment stories that I can think of. You know, like mm-hmm. if I said you can't leave this room right now, that's false imprisonment.
Right.
So I've heard of two stories where they're like, filming is not done. You are not leaving. One where the door was bolted and the other one where they took away someone's car keys so they couldn't drive away.
Unless they were drunk and they took away the keys. But I mean, a couple of times I had done a scene with one of them that were so drunk.
Sonia or Leah?
Sonia. And when the cameras went down and the producers, the showrunners, whatever, they were leaving, and she couldn't walk out of the bar. I had to basically carry her into a cab, get her into her building. The doorman had to support her. And I had said to them the next day, aren't you a little worried about Sonia? I said, don't you think that there needs to be some type of an intervention or something? And they just, nobody paid attention to it. Nobody cared. And I really thought, gosh, one day this is going to be a really bad headline. And I always thought that she was lovely. But my heart broke for her because she went through a lot in her life and she was definitely drinking a lot. And I think that Roni absolutely loved drunk Sonia, and she otherwise they didn't think she was as funny.
I would agree with all that. So right. What, like, you, I mean, and I could see all that too, like you said to producers, like, FYI, I just want to let you know this
absolutely.
Is I had to get her
yeah
home.
I said, you know, you guys pack up and leave, and this girl could walk in the street and get hit by a car. So I said, you're not taking any responsibility for her. And I think they truly felt when the cameras were down, they had no culpability. But I definitely think that it creates a very toxic environment. They want the girls to fight with one another. They kind of feed you these, they call them beats, right, before the show, in which they want you to bring up toxic things about the other one. When I was refusing to do some of it, they kept saying to me, look, you're not going to last on the show. And I just thought, well, this is not my livelihood. This is not my gig. So I don't care. But I was refusing to go down that road with certain scenes. But yeah, I definitely think that there are some things that they should be called on the carpet for.
And when, well, I agree. And when you said this to producers that this girl's going to go outside.
How are you
and,
like, becoming the interviewer this is right now?
Just this one question. When she, I literally can't help myself. People are like, and I'm like, listen, a lawyer, then the head of HR and an interviewer, this, all three jobs have one thing in common. I ask questions. So, you know, so when they, you said this and she's going to walk out and fall down and they just, did they say like, Elise, we're not interested, go away?
They wouldn't say we're not interested. They would say, you know, yeah, we hear you. We hear you.
But then did nothing about it.
But they did nothing about it.
And when you were refusing to bring up whatever, but they said, Elise, you're not going to make
right,
it.
Right. Absolutely.
And what did they think you were supposed to say to that? I mean,
I'll admit it. As important as it is for me to eat healthy and put the right nutrients into my body and hydrate, I'm really not great at it. I'm always on the go. I'm never making that a priority, and I'm always hungry. This was a real problem until I discovered 310 Nutrition. I love 310 Nutrition's water hydrators. You just add them to water, and they make your water taste so much better. They also have refreshing lemonade mixes. My personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. I love their caramel sundae, their vanilla cake, the shamrock cream. I drink one of these shakes, and it totally satisfies my hunger. They're low in fat and low carbs, which I love. They also satisfy my carb craving. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE. You know, I put my hair through the ringer over the years. It's been every color possible. My hair has been fried and damaged. I was looking for a product that smelled good and was high-end and luxurious, but also that was good and wouldn't damage my hair further. That's when I discovered LolaVie. And I should say thank you, Jennifer Aniston. LolaVie is Jennifer Aniston's hair products, where you no longer have to choose between ones that work and ones that are actually good for you. I love using LolaVie's new sculpting paste. It's a medium-hold, lightweight style pomade. I used to use all these gels and it never held my hair in place. This sculpting paste helps me hold my hair in place with such flexibility and it looks so natural. So unlock Jennifer Aniston's approved hair care at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code VELVET at checkout. That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code VELVET. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Your hair will thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I won't go into what they wanted me to say or bring up or a scene they wanted me to create.
You won't?
No, I won't.
The next time you're here and I interview you, will you?
But I think that that bad things are going to come down the line for Bravo. I think that they have to, especially now with all the awareness around mental health. And, you know, so you could say, well, what kind of women want to be on this type of reality show? And you could say, well, the women have responsibility because they know what they're signing up for. So one could make that argument, and they do sign a contract releasing Bravo of all responsibility. Uh-huh. However, you're the lawyer, but I do believe that when you are aware that someone is struggling with mental health issues or alcoholism or abusing prescription drugs, and you are basically supplying the environment for their disease or their battle to be even that much more challenging, I don't think that's a safe work environment.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, some people think it's all just going to go away, but it's quiet now. And to me, when there's a lawsuit, that's when it's quiet. Like, when you're not hearing from Bethany or Mark or Brian, Right. They're working. When Mark Garagos was here.
So why do you think Bethany, since she distanced herself from reality TV, and she certainly was no wallflower, right, when she was on the show, why do you think now she's made it her mission to align herself with the working people.
Well, and she certainly isn't with her money these days, but I don't, listen, I don't know. I feel it could be one of many things. I mean, look, a lot of people feel it's personal. You know, mm-hmm. people say she was on Watch What Happens and Andy dissed her and now she's pissed. And I mean, listen, I've said this before. At some point, I mean, although I'm not a good example because I'd like want to work forever, but to me, it's like, just take your money and just go to lunch at Tudo and the Hamptons and just live. Now, I don't think there's anything, you can never have too much money as far as I'm concerned, so I get it. But look, I think that Bethany's not dumb. So do I think this will ban her from ever being on NBC again? I do. But I think like it's over for her anyway. Like I think right. she wanted to go back for $5 million, rumors for Roni, not getting that. Girls Trip, she said she would do Girls Trip for $1
million. She so did?
She said it at one point, yep.
So I'm surprised they didn't take her
I'm
up on
I'm surprised they didn't take her up on that. But when – so I think she's not – and then apparently she pitched a show about like Westport women. It wasn't going to really be Housewives. Susan Sarandon's daughter was one of them. She lives in Connecticut. It was like in Bravo, like passed on the show. So I don't, but I think, so I think she knows like, okay, like this is over. Like she, it's not a knock to her. She could have gone back. She doesn't want the salary. So I think she's just like, it's really over. And now I got something to say. Right. Like, so I don't know. Does she have her own motives? Yes. I think Bethany mm-hmm. does things with her own motives. I don't think this is to help the working person. And but look, if you can change, like I don't know where this is going to go, but if you can change the face of reality TV forever, we have a Bethany clause. And she's like, I want the Bethany clause struck. And look, if you can change, like I don't know where this is going to go, but if you can change the face of reality TV forever, we have a Bethany clause. And she's like, I want the Bethany clause struck. And now it's struck. And this right. whole thing has changed because of Bethany Frankel. Like you go down in the history books right. of that. That is a legacy that's big, possibly, in reality TV, right?
Well, I think it could be the end of reality TV, right? If they are now responsible for the train wrecks that they are helping make, yeah, I think that this really could be the end of reality TV because it's always the shock and awe. I mean, some of this stuff is just funny. Yeah. And I was naive. I once thought, oh, there should be a show about it. And what's what I thought the new Roni would be, that there should be a show about smart women and like, yeah, they could have their little things, but overall it's, you know, women supporting women, which I know now is that would be really boring and nobody's really interested in that. And people sure. say they are. People say, oh, I'm pro-woman and it's the whole, you know, the Me Too movement, women for women. But people find that boring. Yeah. And so people sign up for the fights and the, you know, you just can't look away moments. But at the same time, those you can't look away moments, the women are, look, I mean, how many of these women have ended up in jail, right?
Jail. Well, Shannon Bedore from the OC just crashed her car. I don't know if right. you saw that.
Right. You know, so these are people who are struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I listen, everything when I read it with the initial thing, I was like, to me, this seems, a lot of people disagree, but I agree with you. Like behind closed doors, they have to be taking this somewhat seriously at NBC.
They have to.
And Andy, like I asked Mark Garagos, like, could Andy lose his job? I mean, of course, listen, Mark's a lawyer, right? So this was a lawyer interview of like, nothing's off the table. I'm like, of course, you know, but listen, you know how it works. Andy Cohen is not responsible for all of Bravo. It doesn't matter. The number one person associated with the network is him. Right. When things happen, as you know, in corporate America, and we need to make a symbol of something, yeah, here's your $25 million, sign the contract, go away. Things, I think this could have big implications as well. Not everyone agrees with us, but I think being a lawyer, having been in corporate America, like this could be a big thing. And I do agree. That's why people, I think, are angry at Bethany because they feel like, right. bitch, you're not on it. You don't want to be on it. You're ruining this reality TV thing for the right. rest of us. I think right. people that get it are mad at her for that. Of like, you didn't want to be there. Now you're ruining this for all of us.
And look, a lot of the women would say, I don't care that they, you know, were working against my sobriety, or I was never trying to be sober, so I don't care. I like to drink and, you know, bring out the version of myself that makes good TV. So a lot of the women don't care. They just want to be on TV. But I think there are enough of them that take a step back and say, whoa, what did I just allow to happen to me on camera?
I mean, if you really think about it, I understand the allure. I mean, I just said I would sign a contract because I know how it works. And, you know, the money eventually is
great. Have you ever seen a contract?
No, I've signed – well, when I was on Millionaire Matchmaker, that was different. I've never seen a true, thick Bravo contract.
It is so onerous. Oh, 100%. I wouldn't sign it. When they first gave me the contract, I said, there's no way I can sign this. And we had to water it down to just a few pages.
I'm shocked they did that.
Well, because they were filming with me all season without a signed contract by me. So then at the end, it was – okay, you don't have permission to use my footage because I've not signed the contract, or you agree to certain things. We take all of this out, and then I'll sign.
That is the only reason, because you were filming. I'm telling you.
They'll never do that again. They'll never film someone without a signed contract.
I remember when you when I start my consulting business in my next life for Housewives, remember when you were calling me and I was like, wait, at least I don't understand. I was like, remember this? And I was like, you're like, don't tell anyone. I'm like, I'm not going to tell anyone. I can be trusted, but I'm like, I don't understand. Like, there's no way you're filming without a contract. And you were like, I am. And that's when I was like, no, you have something here.
Yeah.
You know, I have friends of all ages, younger, older, and a lot of people in my life right now, and a lot of the Real Housewives are dealing with menopause and perimenopause. And ladies, today, this is for you. I want to tell you about Winona. Winona is here to help women who are dealing with menopause or perimenopause. Winona is a collection of OBGYN health professionals who believe that your symptoms are important, that they're real, and that they deserve to be taken seriously. Winona is the home for physician-prescribed bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. Their network is so easy to use, and their doctors make it so easy for you to get started with hormone replacement therapy. And get this, 80% of women who use Winona find relief within just 90 days. Visit buywinona.com today to start your free visit. With free U.S. shipping and the ability to pause or cancel at any time, your path to wellness has zero obligations. Use the code VELVETROPE at buywinona.com for 25% off your first order. That's code VELVETROPE at buywinona.com. Winona, menopause care made easy.
Because otherwise, they would have said, bitch, sign this or get the hell out of the
way. Because I had gone back.
Remember
to
how
them.
When you said right. about Sonya and they're right. like, move aside, we have to set up, they would have been like, get her off set.
Right. Because it was, they had already, I still hadn't done all of my confessionals, but is it confessions or confessionals? I don't remember what it's called.
And I think they would have written you out if you weren't part of like a vital story. Well, like I think they would have been thrilled to just cut it off.
Yeah, but they couldn't because they in with the whole cast, right? So, I mean, I had a really funny edit. Maybe they tried to cut me out, you know, because I was saying, look, I'm not going to sign this.
Yeah, I think they were like, we need her this season, but she is never coming back. Just get her to sign, get it out there, minimize her scenes, and let's wish her the best of luck.
So what type of reality show would you be on? Would you be on Housewives?
I've been on –
they should have done that. They should have brought a gay man
there was talk of it.
Why didn't they? They should have. You would be fabulous.
I mean, I think so.
So
they should have done it on the Roni reboot.
Yes.
Like they should have started with a gay man. You're rebooting the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I have the lifestyle. I'm the right age-ish. Although we're going young these days, like 35.
No, what's her name?
Jenna, yeah.
Jenna's she's like 50-something, right?
I'm younger than Jenna, guys. before everyone starts doing the math. Yeah, no, I agree.
Do you want to be on a reality show?
Like, here's the thing. I've said this before, and it's like anything else in life. It's like the stuff in entertainment and media that looks really big and is big pays fucking nothing.
So, like,
well, you start out getting paid nothing. Yeah. Right. But then you also, people pay you to, you know, advertise their stuff on Instagram or something.
Totally. So, I mean, so my point is, like, I would absolutely do it because I know the upside. But, like, if that never happened and I just keep my head down and this podcast is it, I mean, this is a financial success here at this podcast. So I would absolutely do it because I can do 100 things in one day. But, you know, like, it's not like I look at someone and say, you know, people don't realize, like, this podcast is like running the Bravo network. Like, unless I say something so blatantly racist or against the president with violence, I mean, you can't get canceled from Apple and Spotify. You really can't. So, like, there's no – I mean, a housewife or any reality show, like, you can be fired at any time. Now, right. I still want it because I understand how it works.
Right.
There would be no – guise of me thinking like, wow, I'm going to show people what a great success I am and be a voice for the gay community. No, I'm going to go on the show. Whatever happens is going to be edited to make me look like a total lunatic. And I'm just going to collect my money. And
I don't think you would be edited much. I think you – I'm pretty open. You're very open. I think
I answered
you would
all
do,
your questions.
You did. I think that you would be really good on reality TV.
I think so too.
I think Heather McDonald wants to be a housewife.
I think she does.
Right?
I don't think that's going to happen. I'm nothing against her.
I think she'd be good.
I think she'd be fine.
She's very funny.
She is funny. I went to see her once, not for Juicy Scoop, just for stand-up. And I was like, how good is she going to be? Like, I understand Juicy Scoop. She was really funny.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is way better than I thought. Like, she was great.
Yeah.
Like, the actual comedy.
You should do one another's podcast.
I never know if she likes me.
What's not to like?
I don't know. Elise, let me tell you. There's plenty of people that you can call that are not thrilled with me, but I'm okay with Heather. Yeah, I would love to do her podcast. Make that happen.
I think we should make it happen.
She can come on this podcast any day. What was I going to say?
She's very close with Jill, and you're now close with Jill. Zarin.
Jill and I are close. Yes, she's the neighbor in Sag Harbor. Us Sag Harbor people stick together. But Jill also is probably listening to this right now. Jill listens.
Does she?
Here's the thing. Jill said she joined my Patreon.
Right.
She listens to the main show. And I'm like, okay, that's very sweet of you.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Then, like, you get a text. Well, why did you say this? And did it? Jill listens. She truly, this is like, Jill will call me if she doesn't like something, but not even to complain. She'll just say, like, why did you say this? I don't know if I agree with that. And, like, I'm like, oh, shit, Jill listens.
Jill looks good. Jill's looking really good.
She does. Yeah. She really looks good. Listen, I have no problems with Jill. Yeah, really. I have nothing else
Although
to say.
When
Jill.
I saw her, we hadn't seen each other for a while, and then I first saw her in the Hamptons at Bill Bouquet. And I was with Michael Cohn and his wife. Yes, that Michael Cohn.
Yes. I guess I should react because, I mean, I know that you're friends with him, but I guess if not, everyone does.
And my boyfriend, Eric, and I think there was one other couple there. But Jill came over to the table and she looked at Eric and she said, who are you? And looking very surprised. And I said, Jill, you know I'm divorced. This is my boyfriend. And she said, I had no idea. I'm like, yes, you did. Stop that. She's like, no, I had no idea. So I didn't believe that she had no idea, but she looked incredible. So I'll tell you one of the strangest experiences with Jill.
Yeah.
Now I am not a believer in the afterlife, right? I'm not a very spiritual person.
I don't know if I am either.
And shortly after Bobby died, we went on a girls' trip to Morocco. There were a lot of women.
Not for housewives.
Not for housewives, but Ramona went on the trip. Jill was on the trip.
You were in that group.
I was in that group. And Jill had said that whenever there was a picture of her, there was always some blue light on her that she believed was Bobby, that you could see it in the photograph. And I was thinking, okay, that's maybe wishful thinking. on Jill's part, or she's just making this up, or, you know, she photoshopped it or whatever. So we took a couple of group pictures, and literally I would take the phone and look at the pictures right away. And I'll tell you, every time there was a blue mark, like a blue light on Jill, only on Jill. It gave me chills, like the hair on the back of my neck stood up.
And did you show her this?
Yeah, I was next to her. And she was like, I told you. I told you. She said, it's Bobby. He's around me. And I literally started to like get all teary because I thought, oh my God, is there really something after? You know?
It wasn't like a weird.
It was a blue light on Jill in every one of those pictures. Group pictures. Always a blue light somewhere on Jill.
Interesting.
And she didn't have time. No one could edit it. I was taking it from other people's phones. So I was like, let me see this phone. And I would look at the picture. So it was, so yeah, his spirit is with her.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't really believe in it, but part of me maybe does a little, but like a little compared to most people.
To me, if someone would say to pray, I would be like, I could pray to this because nothing is listening. But I have no rational explanation for this.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So who else are you buddies with? Like really friends with from...
Housewives?
Yeah.
I mean, Anna Kinkosis, if you know her, from Miami Housewives. Mm-hmm. Like I was just in Miami. I saw her. But like I talk to her all the time. So her... I mean, see, this is out of all your Luann. Questions, out of all your questions, people are going to find some of these answers pretty strange.
Okay.
Like this will be like, I am friends with a woman named Kim G. Granatel from New Jersey. She is in the Hamptons too.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I don't really talk about that on here, but I speak to her quite often. Luann, you know, and this is why, like, for all the drama with all these housewives, I have drama. They don't like what this one said, what that one said. I have to tell you, you know, I don't just make things up. For four, going into our fifth year, Luann, to this show, never gets in the drama. When someone comes on here and says something about her, never calls me out on it. Mm-hmm. I see her. She runs over to me. It's just, we just have a thing. I go to her. I'll go to her show. Like I said, it's like there's a reason.
But do you go out to dinner?
Anyone out there who's ever hired for their business knows what I'm talking about when I say, how great does it feel when you actually fill a job and close out a job search? But what if I told you can get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that has a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. Before I had Indeed, when I used to hire for this podcast, it was so grueling. I had to go through so many unqualified candidates. It wasted hours. I also have ditched the busy work and I've used Indeed for this business for scheduling, screening, messaging. And the people that I've hired to help me work on this podcast, editors, PR, marketing, transcribers, they're all really qualified. Do you know that in the time I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed? And get this, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/velvet. Just go to Indeed.com/velvet right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/velvet. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. What do Lala, Kent, and Bubbly Sparkling Water have in common? They're both growing their families. That's right. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, the sparkling water that brings such a smile to your face, the sparkling water that I drank for all these countless hours of Housewives that I watch, now is introducing Bubbly Burst. Of course, as always, there's zero added sugar. It's low calorie. It's a sparkling water beverage with extra fruit flavor. What could be better? Bubbly Burst. It's bursting with fruit flavor. And just like choosing your favorite housewife or franchise, choosing a favorite flavor is so hard. They have peach mango, triple berry, cherry lemonade, watermelon lime, pineapple tangerine, and tropical punch. Oh my God, it tastes so good. But don't take my word for it. Find Bubbly Burst in a store near you.
Luann, she invited me to the premiere of Crappy Lake. And I said to myself, I am going to go for Luann. It was over the summer and I was in the Hamptons. It was a Sunday night.
And I said, oh man, I'm going to have to see certain people here that don't really want to see me. I didn't really want to see them either. Like, there's no love lost between me and Miss Morgan.
Right.
Well, I'm like crappy. Like, I am mad. Like, one was like, is this Luann's party? And then as I was coming in, I'm like, I mean, I'm sure Sonia's, she was there.
Was she nice to you?
Listen, I can respect, Ramona was there in the corner kissing up to Michael Lorber.
Of course.
Right. You know how Ramona is.
Right.
You know, I respect Sonia in the sense that, like, we really avoided each other, which mm-hmm. is fine. The food game was on, the drinks. It was someplace in Columbus Circle in the Time Warner Center, a place I've never been before. I forgot the name of it. If I heard it, I would know. But so, like, you know, okay, like, Sonia avoided me. You know, there's probably no love lost between me and Dorinda. I don't really think we have a thing. We've had our moments. But standing face to Dorinda, I was like, hello, how are you? Good to see you. I was like, good to see you too. You look great. We walked, you know, like, I'm okay right. with that, right? Ramona, I'm just like, God, keep me away from her. the night that you were seated next to her.
Right. We always end up seated next to one another. I think that
maitre d' does it
on purpose.
Yeah. Like, not just there at Tudo, at other places.
We will always end up somehow next to one another.
That night when she walked in, she was in her mood to be like, oh, I'm with all my gays. You know how, like, she right. gets, like, so Sam, who works there, is like, as we were walking by, made a joke. And he's like, now, David, like, please, we're not interviewing anyone tonight. No questions for Ramona. And she, like, reached out and, like, squeezed my hand. Like, I'm like, is this woman being somewhat nice to me? Like, what? I also am like, does she not realize it's me? Like, I'm not sure what's going on, but she was for a moment nice
to me.
Which doesn't mean I'm not like I don't have Stockholm syndrome. This isn't like, yay, Ramona was nice. I was just like, I'm so confused right now.
Right.
But that night I avoided her. She was kissing up to Michael Lorber. So yeah, Luann and I, no, we don't go to Luann mm-hmm. is just, but I am like so okay with that. Like, it's almost now she's her house, like, you know, she's on tour again. Her team, mm-hmm. That night she was like, I'm going to have to come on. I'm like, great. Her team, I was like, for 3 weeks, like, God, I have to reach out to her team. Reached out to me yesterday. I was like, I was going to just, so I'm, that to me is the perfect situation.
Right.
Like, I'm busy. We don't need to call. When I saw her at Jill's party, ran over to me, darling, you know. So, like, I'm, right? Like, what more does one want? Her team reached out, if you have time, Luann would love to come. I'm like, of course I have time. Let's make time. So it's like, right. That is how it should be. It's almost like that's how I want it with a lot of these people, these housewives.
Right, right.
Like, okay. You and I just became friends. It was organic. Like,
it
truly.
It was organic, yeah.
Do you know who I'm also friends with is Bronwyn from the OC.
Right.
I've become organic. I
interacted with her a few times.
Wasn't like such a cheerleader of her. She came on the podcast in person. We kept in touch. And it's like a real – like, to me, a friendship is like if you could just text someone at any time and
right.
like all day. You know, like there's days where I text Anna all day. I'm trying to think who else.
You taught me how to use Instagram.
I did. You've come a long way.
I was an Instagram virgin.
I keep forgetting that. Those are like – I mean, I think are those the main – I feel like there's more, but those are the main ones-ish. Mm-hmm. Trying to think, is there anyone
from
the OC?
What about from the other shows?
I'm trying to think. Like, Bronwyn's from the OC.
Right.
Who from, like, really Kim Granatell from New Jersey? That's pretty much it. Like, regular. Who's, like, Atlanta? Nobody.
I ran into Potomac, Tinsley last week.
Really? Where?
Yes, with her mom. We were having lunch
in New York
on
City?
The Upper East Side. Yes.
Ah, and she's in New York for a minute.
I was seated, like, one table away from her, so I went you over said and hi. Said hi to them. And I have to tell you, that woman is like Benjamin Button. She is aging.
She's back. Gorgeous.
If you would have told me that she was a senior in college, I would believe it.
And it looks natural.
So natural, so beautiful, and she looks very, very happy.
Is she – and she's in Florida, I think, full-time, more or less. That's what I understand.
I thought she was in
– West Palm?
Atlanta. But I could wrong. I could be wrong.
But she's one where it's like, I think she's like, I love when someone's away from Housewives and they're like, no, really, it's not my goal to go back.
Right.
I love that. I believe Tinsley really is like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah. I mean, she looked happier than I have ever seen her look.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does that mean she has a boyfriend?
She was with Dale. Dale was very charming.
Dale almost came on this podcast. It was the season after Tinsley and Dorinda. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Dorinda just went psychotic on Tinsley and then lost her job and went on pause. So, and Dale and I were texting and it was really going to happen. We don't need to get into what Dale said about Dorinda. But then Dale said, you know, it's because after the reunion, it was wrapped up in a bow. Tinsley kind of looked good and nothing against right. Dorinda. And Dale was like, you know, it's kind of wrapped up. Like Tinsley looks good. It's like, it's over. I think anything I say on the podcast is just, and I said, you know, she's an older woman too. Right. I said, Dale, yes. Anything you say on this podcast will be all over. Right. It will open up a complete can of worms and I really can't. See how nice I am?
You are nice.
I'm like,
yes.
I want you on this podcast, but everything you just said about what's going to happen if you come on is 100% what will happen. It will be on page six, wherever else. And right. whatever you say about Dorinda will be blown up. And the can of worms that you think is closed now for your daughter will be opened.
Right. Although so, she is a mom, and I'm sure that it was so tempting to want to protect her baby.
Her right. texts said a lot to me. Yeah. They were very explicit yeah. on a lot of things.
But yeah, very elegant woman. It was.
Yeah, and yeah, I was like, I just
enjoyed meeting her.
I can't do this to you. Like, just don't come on as much as I want you to come on.
Yeah.
See how nice I am?
You are so nice, David. You're so misunderstood.
Those are the main housewives that I feel like there's
tell me,
more.
What, all right, so tell me something about yourself that I didn't ask.
Oh, man. I mean, you asked about my sex life. You asked about, like,
graphically.
Housewives. You asked about past breakups. What? You know.
There must be something. Tell me something.
What did you not ask me? You know, I think, I don't know, is this not really, maybe this would seem obvious to you. You know, like, I am more of a homebody than people think. Is that obvious, I guess? Maybe that's obvious.
That's not a big secret. Tell me something
What's
juicy.
A secret? What is a secret about me? I mean, I haven't really committed any crimes.
Really?
No, I mean, listen, everyone's been arrested before, right?
I haven't.
You haven't?
Have you been arrested?
You know what? It's really weird because, you know, and now I find, I don't know.
What?
Okay, here's the thing. Oh, and by the way, so you asked about the lawyer before. Like, I was a real lawyer. Yeah, people are always like, oh, you're not a real lawyer. By the way, I was suspended from the bar because if you don't pay your – it's just the same thing that Ebony went through. If you are a lawyer, you have to pay dues every year to be in good standing. So when you don't practice, you're like right. – You just vanish. And then one day you're like, well, I mean, what is this? Like, what do you mean I've been – well, oh, I've been suspended. I'm like, no one told me I had to pay – there is a way to check off inactive – like inactive lawyer but in good standing with the bar. So to get back in, you just have to pay a bunch of money. Now, I did that. And then I got reinstated. And then years later, they're like, you're suspended. And I'm like – oh, because the same thing happened. Like right now, I'm probably on, like, you just forget. You're like, life gets busy.
Tell me about when you were arrested.
So I was arrested, but I don't know if I was really arrested. Here's the thing. No, I really don't. I was calling a lawyer from the thing and the lawyer was like, I don't understand. Like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm at the police station. And so the lawyer was like, you have your phone? Like, you're just calling me. So he's like, I don't know if you're real. So I really don't know if I was arrested. But there was someone – I wasn't even dating them. We just had, like, a moment in time.
Right.
We had a hookup. And then we had, like, a big fight afterwards. It's – none of this is important. And then there was a phone call that he made to me where I was like, I think this person is trying to, like, entrap me and, like, kind of get money out of me. Not that I did anything wrong. So then – this person was trying to imply, like, you know, you're threatening me. And I was like, what are you talking? Like, it was a weird phone call.
Right.
And I had, like, a really weird feeling. Well, it turns out this person who didn't even live in New York, he was in New York at the time, then went to home to Chicago, said that I did all these things, which I didn't do. So, okay, just fast forward to, like, one day I'm just minding my own business and there's, like, a banging on my door.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Now, you learn things. So, like, here I am. Like, I always say, like, I'm, like, a dumb lawyer at times, even though I'm a lawyer, because I don't practice. So, like, I open the door, which you don't have to do for the police.
Right.
But I open the door, and they were just, like, do you know this? They weren't There was no, like...
And they can't arrest you if you don't step outside your apartment. Right?
I think I did all of that. I think I was, like, opening the door, and I was... They were like, you know, well, here's the thing, and I really live life like this. I don't want to run from any problem like I have. Like, it's true. Like, my accountant's like, maybe you could pay, like, $1,000 in the taxes, but, like... You know, if you paid – okay, I want to pay the $1,500. Like, I don't want this – because whatever it is, I like to deal with the problem head on. Right. Someone's like, maybe this will go away. No, no, no. I want a conference call right now. I want to deal with this. So the police were like, you know, would you come with us? And to me, it's like, well, now you got me nervous. So sure, I'll come to the station. Like, right. Because I don't want – what is this? What's happening? I don't want this hanging over my head. Let's just go to the fucking station and deal with whatever it is. So then I got to the station. Now, I did – get fingerprinted.
Okay, then you were arrested.
No, but I don't
yes,
think...
Yes, if you were fingerprinted, really? You were arrested. Yes.
So then they were like, okay, go wait in this room. It wasn't a cell.
Right.
And I just went and waited. I was like doing my work. I was like, I better call a lawyer. So when I called the lawyer was like, I don't even understand what's happening. Like, you're just sitting in some room with your phone. I'm like, pretty much.
Did they read you your rights?
No.
Oh, they did not Mirandize you?
No.
Oh, then maybe you were not.
I literally, all I know is the lawyer was like, do, 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 do. And whenever you get out of there, just get in the Uber and just come and see me. So then I did. And I was like, was I arrested? And then, like, you know, eventually the lawyer was like, listen, this all seems bogus. Here's the bottom line. This has to now play itself out because you're in the system.
Right.
So maybe I was arrested. But the lawyer was like, based on my experience, this is all bullshit.
Did you go in front of a judge?
Eventually, yep.
Oh, like, then I had you to go, were arrested.
Oh, well, then I was arrested. I had to go like 3 times. And because the lawyer was like, look, based on all this, it seems like this is all bullshit. This person will
But the fact that they didn't read you your rights, that it should have been you right there. Then
maybe they did, but I don't.
If they didn't read you your rights,
I don't think they did.
It should have been dismissed.
Maybe they did, but I don't remember that. I really don't.
I watch a lot of Law and Order.
I mean, there was probably a mugshot. They probably took a picture, but it was definitely.
There was a mugshot.
No, but I don't know. I don't remember a picture, but
it
wouldn't.
Did you look cute in it?
I don't think so.
Oh, well,
when you're working
you
from home
it.
And someone's banging on your door like that. But I
you're
no,
like, wait,
but
can I at least get my hair gel?
No, I never saw the mugshot. So then the lawyer was like, this is all bullshit. This person is probably just, you know, is never going to show up for any of this. Unfortunately, to get something dismissed, you have to go 3 times and then not. So I had to go once, go twice. And then after a third time of not showing up, they were like, okay, this is dismissed. So it was a total bullshit. Really, the bottom line is I had to pay like $7,500 for this lawyer to go fucking 3 times. But I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
There.
Well, that was juicy.
I see.
That was, yeah.
See? But I really don't remember the rights.
He's going to be in the sun, David Yonta, from behind arrested. The velvet rope, arrested. They're going to go looking for that mugshot.
I mean, I would like the mugshot. Sonia has a mugshot. Tinsley has a mugshot.
I know.
Luann. I want to have a mugshot. Yeah. See, so I'm very open.
Leah
like,
had
I mean,
one too.
Leah had one. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I'm very open about my whatevers. I really have nothing to hide. You know, but there, see, I went from being, I went from being, I like to stay home and I don't like to go out as much as everyone thinks to, oh, wait, I was arrested. I'm like, what can I pull out of my, I'm trying, yeah, I mean, that was really.
That's a good one.
I don't know if
I have
any other.
Is there more? Is there anything else?
I'm trying to think. Do I have any other really interesting stories? I mean, I was never. I'm trying to think. Like, I've traveled a lot. Did I ever have scary experiences in other countries? Really. I don't know. Like, you know, I'm sure there are other. That's a good one. I feel most people have been arrested at some point in their life.
No, they have not.
Not even once?
No. I don't think the majority of people have been arrested.
Well, this was for like something that didn't even happen. It was just a nuisance.
Right.
Having it get torn away from work and then $7,500 to just yeah. appear in court 3 times.
Yeah, no, spending legal fees when you are wrongfully accused of something is
a pain in the ass.
Really upsetting.
It's upsetting, but then you have to say to yourself, well, this, listen, as you mentioned, Kevin O'Leary when he was on my podcast, I said, you know, what is money to you? Like, because he loves money and I love money. He said, let me be very clear. It's very simple. Money is freedom. And I'm like, I say the same thing. So the point is, when these things happen, that is when you're like, take my $7,500. This is why I have money. So I can just quickly buy my, you don't buy your way out of it, but that's where you're like, here's the money. Here's the lawyer. Do your job. And this sucks. But like, this is, I think, a good spending of the money because, like, isn't this what it's for?
And if you're – one thing that I've learned and have heard people say, you never want to chintz on an attorney.
Never.
You want to get the best attorney that your money can buy.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But having to spend it when it's stupid is you're just like, this sucks.
Please, I went through that with that housekeeper lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a very bad attorney. And I kept thinking, well, I'm the one who's right, so somehow this will all work out. But that's not how it works. No, it's not. I mean, we settled, but it was... You know, it was a you know, we discussed it in the first podcast.
If people can listen to this is like 7, 8 times, 6 times you've been on here, be broken into two parts. When Barbara was here today, I said, she's like, that was two parts last time. I'm like, yeah, you guys talked for a while. You've been on many two part episodes. This is going to be a two-part episode. I hate to break it to you. So technically, if it's two parts, this might be like your ninth visit here.
Wow. And you're not getting tired of me.
You and Luann. Luann is right up there. She's been here. But the Countess's chats run a little different.
I don't think we said anything too salacious, right?
Today?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I was going to ask you about the new Roni. I saw firsthand when you were seated next to Ramona, the two of you are still not speaking. You guys will probably – oh, I mean, this is just randomly coming to me. Yes. It is out now. We've heard about this for months and months. Like, do you know Bill, this man that is now – have you seen the picture surface with him and Ramona?
Oh, well, I've seen them together. She and I always end up at the same
parties. You really travel in the same circles.
Yes.
Like Jill doesn't travel in those circles, Luann. It's you and Ramona.
Not as much, but Ramona and I will end up at the same parties. And she will always make a point to come and stand shoulder to shoulder with me and speak with whomever I am speaking and completely ignore me.
That is just so – I mean, Barb said here – I was there. You know, her and Luann spoke. So apparently everyone can just move on except Ramona Singer.
Yes.
I mean, like, she's been fired. Now she's been rehired. But, like, with everything, like, the show's gone away. It's canceled. She was fired. Then she was fired from Legacy. She wasn't going to be in the first Legacy. And the only reason she's in this Legacy is because Jill turned the money down. That is 100% a fact.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were going forward with Girls Trip like, remember, because – I believe because of everything that happened between her and Ebony is my friend, but I don't think she's really ever said that this is true. So I'm not getting this from her. I'm just saying it. It's because it happened. Like when Ebony went to HR and complained about Ramona, they went forward with Legacy with Jill and Kelly and Dorinda and Sonia and Luann and not Ramona. When Jill turned that down, they turned it into this girls trip and had to hire Ramona back.
Oh.
This is why when I say, and I'm not even knocking Bravo, when I say that they let someone go because they're doing the right thing and we don't stand for racism and all this other stuff, all I'm saying is you're a corporation. That's all bullshit because it was convenient to let Ramona go, just like all these other people. And many others are back now too. And then when you needed her, because how can you put the word legacy on something without Jill and Bethany and this one? They needed Ramona. And they're like, all right, well, we didn't find anything, quote unquote. We need her back now. All of a sudden, after she called it a legacy loser, now she's back.
Right.
You need her. But you would think that, like, she would let it go because there's no show. Like, the whole thing has changed now. Like, we've all moved on.
Well, our fight wasn't
about the show.
For the show. It was very real. Yeah, there's no path back.
I have certain people that used to be in my life that I agree. Like, it's just like, no, I will never speak to you again. I don't want to.
Right.
And Ramona, is that for you? Yeah, there you were. So I saw that you were sitting next. I mean, you know, so that's just never. You guys are never going to. Well, that must be weird that you have to see her all the time, or you're used to it by now.
As Taylor Swift says, we are never getting back together.
There's going to be no Ramona and Elise.
No.
And you don't miss her.
No.
She's
alive. I don't wish anything bad for her. I feel apathy.
Do you run into her in the city or just in the Hamptons?
Well, I'm sure I will in the city. We're just sort of back from the Hamptons. But before the summer started in the city, yeah.
You guys go to the same places.
We run into one another often enough.
That's weird. Because, like, I mean, I don't run into you. I go to a lot of these Upper East Side places. I never run into you.
Yeah.
It's weird that you guys would run into each other.
It's funny that it doesn't matter with whom I'm speaking, that she will become attached to my shoulder and speaking with the same person.
I don't know what her strategy is with that.
I think it's like a dog. It's like I once said to her, why don't you just pee on him to mark your territory? I think it's a territorial thing.
And do these people say, well, this, like, they know you don't speak.
People see it. People think it's funny. Yeah.
Like, I mean, she's not going to intimidate you. Like, I guess it's an intimidation factor, but it doesn't work. Yeah.
No, it's funny to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, no, that's it. I'm happy to not, like, this new generation of housewives that's kind of coming in with all the shows. I'm like, I'm okay to kind of keep my distance.
Right.
Come on the podcast or don't. Listen, they all come on, other reality stars too, and they all love me.
Well, you're so lovable.
Right. And then they all say, let's text, and they mean it. You get a text, you get a DM, and, you know, you keep up because, like, you like them. You do have great – and then it just – you're like – it's like I'm cautiously optimistic.
Right.
Not even optimistic. I'm just cautious.
Right.
Because here's the thing. The next time I want you on your show, my show, I want you. When you come on my show, we're such good friends now, right? And you say something that you want edited and I don't think it should be edited, we're going to have a problem. So, right. Like, as great as this is, I'm cautious because, like
– But you're actually pretty –
I'm pretty fair.
If someone says something and they're just like, look, this is going to cause real problems for me, I think that you are open-minded too.
I am.
Right? Like, you have to weigh your gain versus their loss. And if your gain is, you know, a little blurb in the Post or the Sun and their loss is much greater,
major.
Right, then I think in every situation you have to weigh your gain and their loss scenario or vice versa.
And I've said no, and I have burned bridges, which is nothing that I'm proud of, but I stand by. I don't regret anything in life. Nothing.
Really?
Everything. Yeah.
You have no regrets. There isn't anything that you wish you had a do-over.
You know, there's things, but it's like I really feel everything happens for a reason. So I don't really believe in the afterlife, but I do believe in, like, I guess, divine intervention of, like, this was meant to happen. Even really? The bad things. Yeah. Because, like, coulda, shoulda, woulda, and then there's a result that is not great, and then you're like, I could have played that so differently. Well, that's easy to say now.
Right.
Right?
Right, but you could look back. I mean, I could look back and say, I wished I never got married the second time. I wish I never married him. I wish I never met him.
Well, I understand that.
Right.
There's people I wish I never met, but, like, you did. So there must be some lesson. And that second divorce, as miserable as it was.
Well, the divorce was really easy. It was, you know, there was no financial entanglement. So it was.
But you still wish you never met him.
Yeah. I feel like I wasted 8 years of my life.
but something, there must be some lesson to be learned.
I don't think so. I'm looking for it.
I have not found it. Like when I fall out with people, I'm just like, this just wasn't meant to be a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And so like I've gone through things lately where I've gone through friends. Mm-hmm. And it does make you reflect inward because, you know, the people will say, you know, the problem must be you. And you're like, I understand that argument. And then you're just like, but this just wasn't meant to be. And that's okay. Like, I believe in a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Okay. Well, you have a very healthy outlook. I don't think I realize how healthy you truly are.
Everyone says, oh, you're miserable. You're this, you're that. You should see all the trolls. And I'm like, this doesn't affect me because it's so not true. You just right. have no fucking clue of who I am. You didn't realize I was this healthy?
No, I didn't realize.
What did you think I was? A superficial bitch?
No, I wouldn't be friends with you if I thought you were a superficial bitch.
You thought I was deep and dark and fucked up because I never cry?
No, I didn't think you were deep and dark and fucked up, but I thought that you lacked a certain depth. What I knew of you, I adored.
I could see that.
But I thought, you know, there's just, you know, and it didn't make you shallow, but I didn't think that you could go as deep as some of my, you know, other closest friends. But now it's not that you can't go deep. It's that you're actually profound, I think, in your outlook on life.
Thank you.
Maybe I will learn something from you.
Maybe I'm the deepest out of all of you.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I can go deep. Like if we were sitting around your Hamptons home and we had a fire lit and everyone was going deep and that was the mode. But like, you know, we're having a glass of wine at Tudo. But yeah, it's just like – I mean, this is why for the 2 seconds I was in therapy, I have quit because when I would say something bothered me and the therapist would be like, no, and I would talk about something and he'd be like, okay, like you're saying that, but you're also smiling and laughing. Like, does that really bother you? And I would say, no. He would say, why? Then, okay, next topic. And after like a couple weeks of this, I'm like, well, apparently everything that doesn't bother me really doesn't bother me. I'm quitting. And then, of course, there was like, oh, no, you can't quit. So I can't, like, make things bother me if right. they don't. Like
maybe you really don't have any neuroses or – yeah.
If anything, the only thing is I can be a complete workaholic.
That's okay.
And that – I think so.
But I think you find – I do think you find joy in that. I think you're passionate about what you do.
I like what I do.
You love what you do. And –
I like yeah. what I do, but I'm like from running a different business before this, I'm a true entrepreneur. Like I like building something and seeing it happen. And even when there's a little setback, I don't know if I would like it if I worked for someone else.
No, then you would not be happy.
I haven't been. I've been a troubled employee at every job I've had.
Yeah, no, I can see
I have
you as
been
a problem child
a real
employee.
Bad employee. Because employers don't want your A game. They want your B game. They want right. you to come to work and do the job. When you're like, but this is the way to do it, they don't want to hear it.
No.
So I realized that the hard way multiple times. I mean, here's something else you could learn from about me. I mean, I've been fired from I'd have to think of all the places I've worked. And I don't mean like when I was like in high school. I mean right. like as a lawyer, in recruiting firms, like until I had my own business, I was fired so many times.
But there are a lot over of successful and over people and over. Who have been fired from
– like every job basically. Right. Kicked out. Your computer is shut off by the time you get back to your desk. Get the hell out. Don't ever call us again. Yep. Fired like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5 times. Like 6, probably 6 times maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
You go out with a bang.
I do go out each time with a bang. Yeah, no, I think a lot of entrepreneurs are just, you can't right. work for someone. I can't. So that's why when I – like this podcast, you know, there'll never be a permanent co-host, nothing. It just won't work. It right. just could start so great. It won't work. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It just won't work. And that's okay. I applaud everyone out there that has a regular cost. Mind you, a lot of you, then it, we hear a year later, there's a big problem. I'm going to avoid that going forward. Yeah.
All right. So you learned a lesson.
You learn. That's exactly. So that's why I feel everything happens for a reason. You take your lumps and you're like, this is not a negative experience. What have we learned here? And then you look at, yeah, it's a mess. Like, look at this mess.
Right.
Like your divorce. This is a mess. And I wish that I never met this person.
You know, it wasn't a mess. It was just not what I thought it would be. And because I didn't, you know, look, I mean, my first marriage, I was married for, I don't know, over 17 years. I have my daughter who is the love of my life. So I could never have any regrets. Yeah. But the second marriage, I don't walk away with anything saying, well, I have a child out of this, or I've learned this from him, or I just feel like, I kind of wasted a lot of years there.
But you also enjoyed it when it was happening,
yes,
at times.
Yes, that's true. I was happy at the time. I was happy until I was not.
And maybe you learned something you don't want in a relationship for this current relationship. Maybe.
Okay. All right.
See?
All right, David.
You see? I'll take that. You're shocked. You're like, I didn't realize you actually had your shit together.
I did.
You just thought I was a mess.
No, I never thought you were.
No, but you didn't realize that this. So that's why. So every bad situation, I'm like, this, there must be some learning. I'm very in tune. I'm trying to be like, look, I don't live in the past. I really don't. Like, actually, to a fault almost. Like, I don't like looking at pictures from the past. Just like, I think if anything, I err on the side of living in the future, and that's not good. So I'm really trying in my old age with a small circle to be present in the moment. So in being present in the moment, you learn to really analyze, like, I'm here. Am I having a good time? And that's when you're like, this friendship, not ours, but this friendship has run its course because I'm just not enjoying this interaction. And that could be like a relationship, like a breakup. You're just like, I'm just not into this anymore. You are just not my type of person as a human being. And I wish you the best of luck and go out and flourish. I personally want absolutely nothing to do with you because I don't enjoy this interaction or my time with you.
Right. It took me years to get there with people. But when I finally got there,
it's so simple.
Someone whom I had known for decades, who was sort of an up and down friendship, reached out to me right after rumors were spreading that I was getting divorced. It was before my divorce hit the press, and we had separated. And the rumors were flying around, and she called me, you know, I care about you, you know, let's talk about it. You know, what's happening? Is any of this true? Leaving voicemails, sending text messages. And I finally sent back a text and I said, thank you for reaching out. But at this time, I choose to keep people close to me who have my best interests at heart and are not looking for the gossip. You're not in the first group. And she said, how can you say this to me? And I just said, I wish you the best. You know, I just got to a point in my life where I also do not have room for the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anything you said would have been like, this is for gossip. Like, you just, you just know it.
Right. She just wanted it for the next dinner conversation. She wanted to be the one to bring all the inside information about what went down. And I just wasn't handing that out. But as far as what you're saying, being in the moment, I completely agree with you, right? There are people you can go to dinner with, right? And you're just engaged in the conversation with this person. And then there are the people that you're having dinner with and they are looking all around the restaurant for who can they get up and go and say hello to, sort of, you know, the bigger, better deal or the opportunity. I found a lot of, not with the women I'm friends with now, but with other women whom I had been friends who are single, I was just merely a prop. So we would be at dinner and I was just the wing woman, I guess, so they could, you know, run off and meet men. And I would find myself sitting alone at the table sometimes for 20 minutes while she was hitting on some guy.
Ramona Singer?
So, you know, so those type of friendships.
Yeah, I never right. look like I'm really I yeah, I don't have FOMO. I really yeah. don't. I'm like when I go out, I'm like I don't need to, you know, you see someone you know, like I mean, especially in the Hamptons, you go, you know, ever, but like yeah, I'm not looking around. Like I just like okay.
No, you're in the moment. When you're in whenever the moment, you and I dine together, we're focused on our conversation.
Then like you get a call, I'm like, okay, this is an excuse for me to check some work. Right. But, you know, listen, I'm learning. I like try to stay off the phone. So there
well,
you
the
go.
Only calls I ever pick up when I'm at are from my daughter.
Yeah, that makes right? sense.
And when my dad was alive, from my dad. But otherwise, yeah.
So life is very simple. So I'll try to go deep every time I see you now and we're having a drink. But I can't tell you my angst of the day if just sometimes there's just well, none.
And sometimes we don't need to go that deep. No. We could just go out and enjoy one another's company.
Thank you.
I am so happy we did this.
This was fun. We have to do it again. Everyone is like, oh my. People are either like, shut the fuck up, David, or they're like, in this one episode from Elise Lane, we have learned more about David than the past 5 years of listening to him every day. And I'm hoping it's the second one.
Yeah, I hope so.
You'll have to come
too.
Back, though, because I will ask you questions because there's lots more I need to ask you. And you can ask me more in the future, too.
Okay.
But thank you for doing this.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you for giving me the honor only of interviewing you.
Only you. I will talk to you very soon.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.